It's the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 295. I'm your host, Adam Mangum. This week, Matt and I break down the Wisconsin game and examine exactly where we're at in this 2017 football season. Is this all as bleak as it seems? Can Satake and company turn this around? We also compare this to the tough start in 1991, and we celebrate Ziggy and Kyle Van Noy and their success in the NFL. This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast. Find this podcasts and other great shows at DeseretNews.com/podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout and listen to us right now. So Matt, what's going on, man?
Just living the dream.
I don't know what that means. People say that all the time. What does that actually mean, to live the dream?
It sounds positive.
Oh, okay. It sounds positive.
Yeah, it sounds like things are going well, right?
Sure. Depends on what the dream is.
I guess that's true.
No.
If your expectations are real low, you could always be living your dream.
That's right.
So I guess life is really just about adjusting your expectations.
Yes. There it is. Adjusting your expectations. Matt, have you ever been to a Comic-Con?
No, sir. Nope.
Well, I have.
Oh, boy.
And I will be going to another one. I'm going to be at Salt Lake Comic-Con this week for my other podcast, Bleep the Podcast.
That's this week?
Yeah. So I'll be in Utah basically doing geeky stuff for 3 straight days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Oh, my gosh. You are such a geek. You're going to a Comic-Con?
I've been to one before. This isn't my first. But yes, I am going to a Comic-Con. And I will have a press pass. So, I think that means I get to go wherever I want. I think that's what that means. And meet whoever I want. So, go check out the list of guests. It's pretty cool.
Are you going to walk around with your press pass like Wayne and Garth?
Yes.
In Wayne's World?
Yes, absolutely.
Are you going to bow down to people and say, we're not worthy, we're not worthy?
Oh, 100% chance of that. Who doesn't like resurrecting terrible 90s jokes like I do?
Hey, you know, with all the reboots, why aren't they rebooting Wayne's World? They could probably even get them to do it.
Oh, they could definitely get them to do it.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Not really. Was it really that funny, Wayne's World originally?
The sketch was funny. The movie was it's hard to turn a sketch into a movie, right?
Saturday Night Live tries. But Matt, Salt Lake Comic Con, I have two words for you. Two words. Val Kilmer.
Are you serious?
I'm telling you right now, if I somehow meet Val Kilmer and get a picture with him this week, check that off the bucket list.
If you're not wearing an I Love Toxic Waste t-shirt when you do that, I'm going to be severely disappointed.
I don't own an I Love Toxic Waste t-shirt.
I had one in high school, but I don't think I have it anymore. My wife probably threw it away.
Yeah, smart woman. All right, Matt, with that fantastic intro, let's go straight to the Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
Get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Matt, women's volleyball, since we last recorded, beat Utah Valley and Weber State. They're ranked ninth in the country. They're at 11-1. They've got to start WCC play this week at Santa Clara, who's 7-5, and San Francisco, who's 3-10. They've been ranked in the top 25 for 4 straight years without any interruptions.
Is that good? Is that considered good?
I believe that's good. I believe that's considered good. Senior middle blocker Cozy Burnett ranks 30th nationally in blocks per set and 17th in total blocks with 64. Matt, women's soccer lost Arizona but beat Kansas. They sit now at 2-4-3. They've got Utah Valley coming up. Senior forward Nadia Gomes had 2 goals against the Jayhawks. So good luck to both of those teams this weekend.
And their record's going to turn around, right? I mean, they had a front-loaded schedule a little bit, and that's a pretty good team. Yeah. I think that record is going to level up.
Well, and they still, I believe this is true, because Greg Rebell tweeted it, and anything he tweets is true.
It's like the internet.
That's right.
You can't put it on the internet unless it's true.
That's right. There's somebody that scans all that. They still lead the nation in attendance. So, you know, it's fun. I used to go and have been as a graduate of BYU as well. Matt, Jimmer Fredette, have you heard of him?
Yeah. I've heard of the Jimmer.
He just revealed a new shoe through that Chinese shoe company 361.
And I want one.
Yes. So Matt, they look pretty cool.
They do look cool.
I think we both need new basketball sneakers.
I don't know when the last time was I purchased a basketball sneaker.
Eighth grade?
Maybe. That's actually basketball? Quite possible.
When you were, weren't you the power forward on that team?
I was something.
And the second shortest guy?
No, I was still tall in eighth grade.
You were never tall. No,
I was like this height.
I know.
So for an eighth grader, that was pretty tall. I just stopped growing at about that age was the problem.
I remember there being bigger guys than you on that team, but.
Well, you weren't one of them.
Whoa, I'm taller than you now. I've always been taller than you. Never passed me on height, you punk.
All right, on height. I like your qualification there.
Well, okay, you passed me on weight. Nice job, buddy. Well, now you've gone the other direction on me on weight, so it all
yeah, so.
What goes around comes around. Matt, let's go to the NFL. With the first pick in the NFL draft, the New York Jets select... By the way, Matt, we'll get to this in a second. Let's lead with this. Ziggy. Let's lead with Ziggy. Force fumble.
Ziggy's the man.
Three sacks. And that one sack where he basically, I don't know if I've ever seen a left tackle in the NFL get as humiliated as that guy did. Basically pushed back with one hand and just moved out of the way as he gets Eli, bear hugs him, and they call the play over.
It was like a mercy. It was like when somebody taps out in the octagon, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The refs called the fight because they were worried about what was going to happen if Ziggy was holding on to Eli for too long.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, good job,
fragile,
by
Coach.
Ziggy. He is fragile.
Did you see the interview after the game where they had him on the field down? And Steve Young was talking, kind of telling his story.
Yeah, yeah.
That was cool. Good stuff.
It was cool. Cool. I watched that only twice. Matt, let's see. Who else from the NFL do we want to talk about as well? Jamal for the Packers only got a couple of carries. Matt, their running game is terrible, the Packers. Ty Montgomery's not getting it done. They got to give the rock to Jamal. I know I'm biased in this, but if I was a Packers fan, and I know some, and I one Packer fan told me at work yesterday or today, they want to see Jamal get the ball. Because they think Ty Montgomery is a wide receiver who's playing running back, which is exactly what he is.
Yes.
Matt, and other good news on the defensive side of the ball for the Chiefs, Sorensen played, I believe, every defensive snap, led the team in tackles, and got hit the quarterback three times.
No including sacks. One time where he was like flying through the air.
Yes.
You seen that Superman picture? It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. So Sorensen had a great day. Also with a great day, Kyle Vannoy. Second week in a row, he's led the Patriots in tackles, and he played every defensive play.
And can you imagine like what it would be like to be a Lions fan right now?
Oh, if only like, you could have Kyle Vannoy wreaking
they
havoc.
They couldn't figure out how to use him, and he's now an every down player for the Patriots.
Yeah, seems like they might have missed something there. Harvey Longy also played a little bit after missing the first game of the year with a concussion. So the rest of the NFL players were either inactive or did not see much interaction. So we will move on from that. Matt, we haven't talked about it in a couple of weeks, but I thought I'd give you a chance to update people on your training for the New York City Marathon.
Yeah, so as we've talked about before, I'll be running the New York City Marathon on November 5th this year. I am training and running in order to raise money and awareness for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. I chose to do that this year as it is the 25th year since we lost our older brother Mitch to suicide in 1992. And I just do want to take an opportunity. We've had some listeners participate in the fundraising efforts, and we had a big day this week. And we're about 70% to our goal fundraising, and I've run over half of the miles in the training program, so I'm pretty excited. I've got a little bit of a slower week this week, then back at it with another 50-mile week next week. But we'll have a link in the show notes if people are able to participate in that fundraising effort. But at any rate, I do encourage people to get to AFSP.org and learn a little bit about suicide prevention and be in a position to reach out and help somebody that they care about.
Thank you, Matt. Ironically enough, Matt, 1992, Wayne's World was the eighth highest grossing movie in the United States that year.
See, the show comes full circle right there.
Party on. Party on, Wayne. Garth. All right, who's Garth and who's Wayne out of us?
See, I think the way the show works, you have to be Wayne and I have to be Garth, but...
Because I do most of the talking? Is that what
you're
saying?
Right, but you're kind of, it's like a little bit like, and I'm like the comic relief, you know, guy with the drumsticks, I guess. I don't know. But in real life, I'm definitely more Wayne than you are.
Whoa.
You're more Garth.
Whoa.
You're definitely Garth in
real life.
That
is totally not true.
Oh. Oh, yeah, it is.
Oh, you're, we'll
I say we leave it to the listeners.
Leave
Let
it
us
to
know.
The listeners. Who's Wayne and who's Garth? And some of our millennial listeners are like, I don't know who those people are, and I don't care. Well, go get educated, millennials.
There's Wayne's World, things. Party time. Excellent.
Excellent. All right. So, Matt, we're going to start out the tweet bag with our friend. Tweet bag. Start up the tweet bag.
Sorry, I was getting geared up for the next effect. Next thing. Man, right. I am off my game. Okay, all right, sorry. Back up. Right. Let's do it all again. Right. Roll the tape back.
Let's start off the tweet bag today.
Tweet bag. What was that?
That was terrible. You sounded like Squeaker off of Toy Story.
Man, this is so embarrassing. This is like terrible. That ESPN commercial where they're watching film of themselves. And there's SVP is just he's announcing a show but just spinning in his chair on the film, and he turns to whoever the baseball player is. He says, I'm just embarrassed. That's how I feel right now.
That's how you
That's
should
how
feel.
I feel right now.
So let's see if you can redeem yourself.
I brought shame upon myself and my family.
Our first tweet bag question is from Justin Sweeney.
Sweeney.
That was also terrible.
Oh, what's wrong with me tonight?
I don't know. You're not on your game. At Justin D. Sweeney. Okay. He Hold says on. This about the 2017 football season. When will it be over? Well, if we lose a couple of these games, we shouldn't. It'll be over with the final regular season game, Justin.
Yep.
So I just call him Justin. That felt weird.
Well, you can't. He's Sweeney. Sweeney. He's Sweeney. And you know what's funny is I don't know if anybody calls him by his last name, but I call everybody by their last name. It's just what I do.
That's true. It gets we only call each other by our first names on the show because it get really confusing.
Yeah, I never call you Adam in real life though.
Is that true?
I almost always call you Mags.
That's
don't
true.
I?
And I almost always call you Mags.
It's weird.
Yeah, it is confusing.
That would get weird if we started calling each other the same name on the show. We already sound enough alike. Yeah. That would really confuse some folks.
Yeah, for sure. Justin Whiting, also on Facebook, said, I got nothing except mild depression. Well, Justin, we're here to pull you out of it. That's what today's show is all about. Maybe. We're going to try. We're going to try, Justin.
There's a silver lining in here, everybody.
So, both Justin, Sweeney, and Whiting... We're gonna pull it out. We're gonna talk about how this season could get turned around. But before we do that, let's jump into that Wisconsin game. And Matt, for folks that are listening, maybe you're a first time listener, or maybe you just have not heard me say this a thousand times. Not a thousand times. This is only episode 295. So that
you would have had to say it multiple times per show. I don't even know what you're about to say.
You can tweet at us at BYU_RiseShout. You can send a tweet bag question to Facebook at facebook.com/RiseAndShout. you can email us, which we'll get to one of those later, at risingshoutpod@gmail.com. That's one word, risingshoutpod. And Matt, we'll get to that question here in a bit. But Matt, what went wrong against Wisconsin? And let's try to keep this to, you know, let's not stay here too long, because we could keep the whole show here.
We played one of the best teams in the country. That's what went wrong.
We're going to get to that in a minute, too, because I got some fun stats.
Brought statistics.
Oh, advanced analytics, sir.
Oh, advanced analytics. I can't wait. I can't wait.
You love it. You love it when I get all geeky with the numbers.
Oh, it's going to be great.
It's going to be
great. But like, let's back up a little bit here, everybody. Let's just realize this is a pretty good team. And, you know, I think that the defense looked a little bit more exposed than they had in previous weeks. And we had a quarterback making his first start against a really good defense.
Ju and I talked a little bit about this last week. There's an expectation problem here with fans. This was what was going to happen against Wisconsin from the beginning of the year. That was likely the case, that we were going to get it handed to us even without Bo Hodge making his first start. Right? Like, so what went wrong? Yeah. Lots of things, both on offensive and defense. But I don't think this is not a game you win. This is a game we could have looked better in, but this wasn't a game you were going to win. So I'm a little like everybody jumping off the bandwagon after a tough loss. I get it, because it's been three losses in a row. But, you know, when we started the year, I mean, the Wisconsin LSU games were losses. Right? Utah, I think we felt a little more hopeful about, but I get why people are bitter, but you know, this is what was likely to happen.
See, and I you wonder, had you taken these three games and sprinkled them out among, you know, one of these a month for
totally
the rest of the season?
Totally changes it.
But I think what really gets people is they feel like the offense has not looked very good. Right?
Well, the offense didn't look very good last year.
So now, instead of saying, you know what, yeah, the LSU, the Wisconsin loss, like, that's not earth-shattering news, but the offense looked so bad that now I'm a little bit worried about some of these other games, right? Yeah. And the Mississippi State smoking LSU did not help people.
So let's reflect on last year, okay? Beat a bad Arizona team. Barely lost to Utah. Everyone's feeling really optimistic. Then you barely lose to UCLA and barely lose to West Virginia. Here's the difference. The only game we were remotely in so far in those three losses, we were in all three of those games. Right?
Right.
We were in it, and we had a chance to win. You and I were at FedEx Field against West Virginia. There was a legitimate chance. Lose to Boise State later in the year. We didn't get blown out last year. And I think that's probably what's got everybody down. These have been embarrassing blowouts. Now, none of those teams last year that we played, not a single team on that list, is as good as this Wisconsin team. And I'm not being exaggeratory. That is not a crazy claim. That is backed up. There was not a
That's not a hot take.
That is not a hot take. There was not a top 15 team on the list. West Virginia was probably the best team we played, at least that's what the computers say. Maybe it was Boise. Maybe it was – no, those are probably the two. And you know, we had a chance to beat both of them. Isn't that what you think – it's not necessarily the losses, but how we lost.
Yeah, it's how the losses have felt.
Yes. Yes, they have felt pretty terrible so far. So Matt, let's talk a little bit about Hodge. So two tweet bag questions, very similar, from Gary Payne. That's at FastBreakGP on Twitter. Is it just me, or did Bo look more comfortable than Tanner? Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag painbag. And then Jeremy Ashton on Facebook says, so should Bo Hodge remain the starting quarterback after Mangum recovers? He looked a lot better on Saturday than Mangum has looked all year. So Matt, Two-part question. What did you think of Bo Hodge in his first collegiate start?
I thought it was okay. I started a little bit rocky, and nobody wants to, you know, their first pass to be a pick. But he seemed to settle down a little bit. He was able to get the offense moving down the field. He made some decent throws, and his mobility definitely provided an additional facet to the offense, right? Kind of an additional weapon to use, and it put him in a situation to escape pressure a little, even though he didn't always make super good decisions after escaping that pressure when the pressure returned. But so I think that, you know, a little bit of a mixed bag, but definitely not a disaster for a guy making his first start.
No, I agree with you, but here's the thing. He was 11 of 20, threw two interceptions, and had a dumb safety in the end zone.
Yeah, now, and a couple of times where he chucked the ball up under pressure when he shouldn't have.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it was terrible. I think he did well for his first collegiate start. I totally agree with you. But to answer Jeremy's question, no, he should not. I think Mangum gives us the best chance to win when he comes back, and I think he's a better quarterback. I get it. He looked a little bit better than maybe Mangum looked in a couple of those games, but Mangum's statistics are better this year.
Well, and there's a couple of things, right? Now, just keep in mind, the statistics you just rattled off, 11 to 22 interceptions, and that safety, which was like surreal. But I think that people feel like he looked better. We're talking about an eye test here. Right, he seemed to maybe look a little bit more comfortable, or his ability to move around. Right, that's kind of what I'm getting at. What is that? What is the value of that?
I don't care if they look comfortable. Honestly, I care if they make the throws.
Well, and they were running a different offense.
Yes, they were running a very different offense, and kudos to Detmer for trying to vary it up a little bit there. But I still wish
they would not yell out Bo when they're going to run the read option. And I don't care if they make a little signal like a bow and arrow. Just wish they wouldn't do that. It's the guy's name.
It is the guy's name, but they're spelling it differently. It's more of a bow instead of a
yeah,
bow.
That's not really coming out in the pronunciation.
No, it isn't. That's weird. So I think he looked fine, and I think against Utah State, he should be good, but I still think Tanner gives us our best chance. So overall, Matt, where are we at? We just talked about this. Is this really any different than expectations? So Football Outsiders has us ranked as the 85th team in the country. Sports Reference does not like us at all, has us as 102nd. And the Massey ratings have us, which is a compilation of a bunch of computer ratings, have us at the 82nd best team. Matt, I have to say the difference between expectations isn't the losses. It's how bad we've been in those three games. Is that fair?
Yeah, that is the whole difference in expectations.
So 1-3 was always a very realistic possibility, but it's the way we've been 1-3.
Correct.
Yeah. So we'll get to predicting the rest of the season, Matt, but these numbers I'm about to go through are not great. But we'll get to fixing it here in a minute, all right? So, offensively, okay, Football Outsiders has us as 120th in the country. Sports Reference has us as 126th. By all measures, we are one of the worst offensive teams in college football. Not that any of us really needed to hear that.
But is this stuff weighted for opponent?
Yes. All of this is weighted for opponent. But there's a caveat, okay?
Here we go.
A lot of these teams, and Bill Connolly will say this from Football Outsiders, a lot of these teams have only played two FBS opponents. We've played three. But some of the others have only played two, a lot of the teams. The things will really start to weigh out next week after everybody has played three FBS opponents, or almost everybody has played three FBS opponents. But these are weighted for your opponent. This is not, I'm not quoting you total yardage or any of that garbage, which also doesn't look good, by the way. But passing, we are one of the worst passing teams, and we're an okay rushing team. Now, the defenses we've played, LSU, depending on the rating, is probably a top 20 defense. Utah's probably a top 40 defense, and Wisconsin's probably a top 10 defense. So we've played good defenses, but we have not played exactly, you know, we haven't played like top 15 defenses, right? Utah is not an elite defense. And quite frankly, we'll see after this week, LSU might not be. We'll see how they do through SEC play after getting hammered by Mississippi State.
Well, they've got Syracuse this weekend, so that's only going to help.
Nope, that'll only help. But when they get deeper into the SEC, we'll see how that goes, Matt. So let's talk about the offense a little bit. Chase Blyle on Twitter, at Chase Blyle, says, "What can our offense do to stay on the field longer? 40 minutes to 20 minutes would kill any defense. Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag timebag." Matt, what can the BYU offense do to stay on the field longer and give the defense a little bit of a breather?
You know, we've talked about this a little bit before, but you got to convert third downs. And, you know, I feel like that's really what is getting us. And that starts with moderate positive gains on first down. You know, and I think that's something we've talked about this before. That's something that this team could really work on. But you got to get into manageable third down situations, and you got to convert them. It's the short drives. It's the short drives that are really killing us. Yeah, so, we've made 43 first downs, and we've given up 86. And I know that it's not the same, right? Because it's our defense against another offense. But that just gives you an idea of how many first downs are out there in a game or in four games to go get, right?
Yeah.
And we're 17 of 50 on third down. 17 of 50.
Yeah.
And 0 for 3 on fourth down conversions. We've got to convert on third down.
Yeah, it's not good. It's bad. We're way below where we were last year on third down conversions. And I think that's the Taysom factor. Taysom was our third down guy, right? He either threw a short pass or he ran for it. And obviously on third and short, you had Jamal Williams to pick those downs up. So we don't have that with Tanner, maybe with Bo, but he did not show that ability necessarily on Saturday against Wisconsin, though he certainly has the wheels to pick up a few of those on occasion. But this is a big issue, but we'll get to the defense here in a second. Jeff Johnston on Twitter, that's at JeffJBYU, says, "I'm coming around to the plan to go pro-style offense eventually. Hybrid in the meantime, how long many years?" Jeff, we're going to have to work on your Twitter grammar.
How long, low, these many years?
How long until the full
how
pro
many
style
long
works?
Years? That's what he meant to say.
So, Matt, from here to the rest of the season, what do you want the offense to run? Let's say Bo Hodge is the quarterback against Utah State. Do you want to see an offense like we saw on Saturday? Do you want to see something different? What kind of offense do they need to run?
I want to see something a lot like what we saw on Saturday. I'd hardly ever put him under center. And I'm not big on dictated, quote, balanced approaches, but I would probably split first down even between running and throwing the football. I'd spread out receivers. I'd do the kinds of things that we saw them doing. Quick passes, you know, 2-3 seconds, you know, and if you put them under center, you're talking about a two-step drop and throw.
Right.
That's the type of stuff that I'd like to see them doing now, which I believe your question was just in the short term, correct?
Yeah. For short term, what about long term?
I'd chuck the pro style. Move on.
I don't have any problem with the pro style, Matt. What I have a problem is the vanilla. And we've now got, you know, almost a year and a half of Ty Detmer to look at. It's so vanilla. And when you lack maybe the same a talent as your Power 5 opponents, I think you got to do something a little different. But this offense is bad. I mean, we just talked about the statistics. They're bad. And I think you've got to do something different than what you've been doing the last year and a half. Bo Hodge did not, I don't believe, He didn't throw any pass from under center. He might have on short yardage. I think they did have him take the ball from under center once or twice, but they did not do anything. Regardless of who the quarterback is on Utah State, I think Mangum's better out of the shotgun too. So I would leave him up to it. Though the statistics back me up a little bit on that with Mangum, but he has so many, you know, he hasn't thrown a lot of pass attempts under center because they stopped doing it after that first game against LSU. Matt, so how do you fix this? I mean, is it just, I think you hand the ball, I think you do a lot of option read and hand the ball to Tuilagau, right? Is that how you fix this?
Does he got to touch the
ball? Doesn't he have to touch the ball 20 to 25 times?
Yeah, I was going to say 20 times. You want Tuilagau to get about 20 touches per game, and you want to throw a lot more shorter passes. And you're only going to go and try and beat people over the top when you know you've got the speed to do it, and not with the guys that we've been trying to do it with. You got to figure out a way. If you're going to try and go over the top and beat somebody, you got to figure out a way to get Trenuman open deep. But he's got to be the guy that you're throwing to way downfield. Everybody else, you got to settle down in that short to medium range passing game. You know, take advantage of the coverage that the defense has given you, and let that determine what type of route you're sending everybody on. I think you get a little bit more backyardy than we have been.
Well, I think both Bohaj and Tanner are better in that kind of situation as passers than in some of the other stuff that we've been running. Now, I, of course, with Criddle, watched on Twitter all of his tape breaking down, and there were a lot of the last 2 weeks, a lot of open receivers that both quarterbacks missed. So to be fair to Ty Detmer and his play calling, there has been some openings out there for the quarterbacks that they have been unable to capitalize on. So,
well, you also got to be fair to the receivers, right? I mean, because I think a lot of people, especially if you watch the game on TV, you don't know if the receivers are open or not.
Nope, we don't see that on the TV angle very well, unless it's short throws. But obviously, Bushman was not the other part is you got to get the ball to Bushman. If you watch Criddle stuff, and I thought so at the time watching the game, the Big Ten officials basically let them mug Bushman at the line of scrimmage and 5 yards later all game long. So that's a little hard. They allowed it's the Gronk treatment. They allowed the Gronk treatment. Matt, defense, okay? Now, we've been defending the defense all season, okay? According to Football Outsiders, they're the 36th best defense. According to Sports Reference, 54th. So there's some discrepancy there. Now, the offenses we have faced, I don't think any of them are elite, except maybe Wisconsin's. With Taylor and Hornibrook, they may have a top 25 offense. I don't think LSU or Utah do. I think they are decent offenses, not necessarily great offenses. LSU, though, might have an elite running game. So, Matt, let's assess the defense. Quarterbacks are completing a very high percentage of passes against the defense this year.
Yes.
Are you worried about that?
Yes.
83%, 15 for 18 for LSU, 28 of 37 for Utah, 18 of 19 for Wisconsin, Matt. That's absurdly high.
And it's 11.5 yards per catch.
11.5 yards per catch, Matt. 70% completion rate so far this year. And that includes that game against Portland State, which we probably shouldn't. So if you take that out, it's 80% completion rate for passes so far this year. That is extremely high. We've also not been able to get but one sack against our three FBS opponents. So the passing game, I think, has been not great. Not great so far this year. I think the rushing game has been okay. We've given up 4.4 yards per carry but against maybe two of the best 12 rushing offenses in football. So, we can't seem to get any pressure on the quarterback, and we seem to leave guys wide open despite only rushing four. Because, man, Hornibrook looked like a champ, but it's also a little bit easier to hit guys when they've got 15 yards of space around them.
Right.
So, Matt, anything you're worried about the defense, any fix there, or do you think that's just more of a, like the computers seem to think, more of a factor of who we've played as opposed to the actual ability of this defense?
Well, you know, one of the things that I've heard people, I guess not heard, but read people talk about is the inability of the defense to get off the field, right? And time of possession has been quoted a lot. You know, I think we've averaged about 23, 24 minutes, and we've given up to our opponent about 36 minutes a game, right? So that does feel a little lopsided. But if you dig a little bit deeper into that performance, what you find is that the total number of plays, and I'm just using the BYU's offense total number of plays, so you have something to measure it against, right? So BYU's offense has run 209 plays. Our opponents have only run 288, right?
Correct.
So that's about 37% more plays that our defense has faced, 37% plays than our opponents' defenses have faced. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But when you look at the total offensive yards, the offense has gained 887. We've given up 1,620 yards. I mean, it's not exactly twice, right? But it's pretty close.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's not that, you know, it's not that they're out there for some inordinate or exorbitant amount of plays. Is that they're giving up big chunks and teams are taking their time. And so I think that's demoralizing for a defense, but really it's the big chunk plays that are killing us. You know, we talked about the passing yards, you know, 11.5 yards per catch. You're not going to win a lot of football games giving up 11.5 yards per catch. You're not going to stop teams from getting first downs very much giving up that type of yardage in the air. So we've got to figure out a way to lock that down. You know, I think we've seen some good stuff on the line of scrimmage in terms of defending the run. I mean, I don't know if I'd say world-beating stuff, but some decent things. But we've got to figure out a way to – we've got to stop people from getting it's in those first couple of downs. I mean, teams are only 42% on third down against us, which is okay. I mean, it's not, you know, they're not doing terrible, but it's not like we're getting killed on third down. It's it's first and second down really is where we're getting smoked.
Yeah, we are getting smoked at times. Matt, last year we gave up 12 yards per pass attempt, and the year before that it was about the same as this year. I don't know. I think this is the same pass defensive issues we've had for several years now. Last year and the year before, I think it was masked a little bit by individual performers who could get pressure on the quarterback, right? We got sacks last year on 7% of pass plays and 9% of pass plays the year before that. This year, it's against the FBS opponents. It's like 2%, right, with the one sack. That's not good. Actually, it's a little less than that, I think, than 2%. It's less than 1%, is that right? Total pass plays.
I don't know how many pass plays.
This year, 114, so you take out the, how many?
It's a little, one sack, did you say?
1.5, 2%. Okay, we're way too low on that. Now, granted, we played some very good offensive lines, but we're going to need to see more of that. I'll just say this. I don't think these defenses that we've had, statistically, eye test, whatever you want to do, are coached as well and done as well as the Bronco defenses. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. 2 years in a row, we're at 5.6 yards per play defensively against our opponents. Bronco never had one over 5, I don't believe, yards per play. So, and you can make personnel questions, right? There's no Kyle Van Noy or Ziggy Ansah on this defense, as good as Fred Warner is, that I don't think there's anybody of that caliber on this defense. But I think we're a good enough talent-wise on the defensive side of the ball that we should be performing a little bit better. But again, defense is not really our problem. The offense is running. You pointed this out, how many plays the offense has run. They're averaging only 52 plays per game. If they were to average that for the season, that would be the lowest number of plays per game BYU has had since, like, I looked it up before and I can't find it right now, since like the 70s. Okay? Like, I get that they haven't been out there for an exorbitant amount of time. They really haven't. But this is going to wear on the defense. If they're only running 55, 60 plays and the defense has to defend 75, that's going to be an issue. They've got to reverse that. The offense does to help out the defense. And that's running the ball, controlling the clock, and as you pointed out, maybe the most important thing is better third down conversions, because right now they're terrible at it.
But third down conversions is bad.
So everyone, I'm hearing this, Matt, I'm hearing this. This is a lot like 1991. Okay? That's what I'm hearing folks say. So let's get in the time machine and go back to 1991.
How many gigawatts do we need?
A lot of gigawatts, Matt. We need a lot of gigawatts. What is it in the movie? How many gigawatts?
I can't remember. That's why I asked you.
7 gigawatts!
Is that right? 9.7? It's not 9.7. What are you talking about? 9.7?
Gigawatts.
Oh, my goodness.
No, it's not 9.7 gigawatts. How many gigawatts is it? Where are we? Gigawatts.
How many gigawatts did Doc Brown need?
1.21. 1.21?
Yeah.
No, that's not it.
Yeah, it is.
1.21 gigawatts? Oh, let's... I'm going to have to turn this into a sound bite. Anyway, all right, Matt. 1991, okay? BYU is coming off the Heisman Trophy winning year of Ty Detmer, okay? Kind of a big deal, wouldn't you say?
Kind of Heisman Trophy is a big deal. I'll go ahead and agree to that.
So, 1991, we started off the season against Florida State in the Pigskin Classic in Anaheim. We got beat up a little bit, 44-28. We then go to UCLA and lose a heartbreaker, 27-23. And then we travel to College Station and lose to Penn State, 33-7. Okay? We start the year 0-3, and then we play our WAC schedule and kick the crap out of people. That's not all true. We had a couple of close games in there. But the point is, a lot of people are comparing it to that. Matt, does it feel similar to you?
Well, I don't know yet, right? I mean, we got to see what happens in the next couple weeks.
Oh, you're not giving an opinion. This show is about us giving opinions that where we don't have enough information to actually make one.
Then I'm going to go ahead and say no.
I'll tell you right now, the answer is no. And here are the reasons. Okay.
All right. Go ahead. What are your reasons?
Penn State and Florida State were probably top five teams. I don't know if we've played a top five team. Maybe Wisconsin. I can tell you Utah and LSU are not top five teams. Okay. I don't believe. UCLA was according to the computers, was 14th best team that year. Okay. Florida State only lost to Miami and Florida, who were both awesome. Penn State, similarly, and both of them were independent, by the way. Isn't that crazy? Penn State and Florida State.
It was a big deal.
It was a big deal back then. They also, all three, had top 10 defenses at the end of the year. All three of them. We will probably only face one top 10 defense this year, and that's Wisconsin. But maybe LSU's was. So maybe there's some similarity there. Here's the other similarity. Look at two of the games. We scored 28 points and 23 points.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get at right there.
And against UCLA, we had a pretty good game against UCLA. So no. Everyone who keeps saying this, please stop. This is not like 1991. We don't have the team that we had in 1991.
And if we have a tie, if we get two ties this year, not interested.
Well, we won't get two ties. Yeah, we finished that year.
Can you believe that was a thing?
8-3-2, lost those first three games and then tied. Though that San Diego State game is one of the most amazing games ever.
Yeah, it's got a weird feel to it, right?
We were down 45-13 or something crazy. I'll have to go look it up. I can't remember.
28-3, maybe?
28-3. Oh, Falcons fans. Hey, but yeah,
I got invited. So I was in a meeting today with a bunch of people from Atlanta. I wasn't even thinking about it. And somebody said, oh, well, we should plan this meeting again and do it in Atlanta. We could go to a Falcons game. And they're like, oh, well, you better wear the right colors. I said, oh, I'll wear my Tom Brady jersey. And I was met by a whole chorus of boos. I didn't even realize what I was saying. I was like, oh, sorry, is it too soon? They're like, yeah, it's too soon.
Well, too soon? It's not too soon.
Pretty funny.
Is it too soon?
Is it too pretty soon? Funny.
Yeah, that San Diego State game, BYU was down 45-17 and came back and tied it 52-52. Jamal Willis, 11 carries for 71 yards, 8 catches for 163 yards and a couple touchdowns. Ty Detmer, 6 touchdown passes. 6 touchdown passes, 599 yards. Do you think we're capable of 599 passing yards?
Not right now.
I've seen no evidence of that. But the one thing that I think is similar is we're going to rack up some wins here, and some of this will be forgotten. Some of it. So if you're Kalani Sitake, what do you do? Are you firing anybody? Are you... No. Demanding drastic changes to any
I'm
side
demanding
of the ball?
I'm demanding a drastic change to the offensive philosophy.
I agree. That's what you got to do.
I'm not firing anybody. But here's the problem, right? Is that the offense is going to make some adjustments, and we saw a piece of that against Wisconsin. The offense will adjust. We'll run down the end of this schedule, and maybe you lose. Maybe, I don't know if we're going to do a rundown tonight, but run down the rest of the schedule. But you end this season with 6 straight wins.
So now
you're thinking, oh man, maybe we turned a corner here with this offense. It's gonna put you in a weird spot in terms of trying to evaluate where the offensive staff and where the returning offensive players stand in terms of development at the end of this season.
So here's what I think. The offense is not as bad as they've looked. I think with Tua Tagovailoa, whoever the starting quarterback is, I think they will be much better against this lesser competition. But I also think they'll play better after they get against Utah State. Against Boise State. Now, Mississippi State, that could be another ugly one. Let's be honest. But I think they will play better. I don't think they're as bad as they've been. I do think, though, to your point, Satake's got to make some drastic changes. The other part, and maybe this people don't care as much about this, we got to get more out of our special teams.
Oh, yeah.
We have to get more out of the special teams, and I think that's there. I want to see Trey Dye returning kicks and punts. Is there any reason that he's not?
I mean, apparently there's a reason, because he's not. I don't know if the reason's any good.
I mean, maybe he can't catch, but I find that hard to believe. I'm trying to understand why we're not doing that. Kick returns right now, we're averaging 20.8 yards per kick return. That's not good enough.
Well, we also have made some, there have been some bonehead decisions to bring the ball out of the end zone.
Yeah, there have. And to be fair, it's not all. Like, Criddle showed a good one on Trenuman where he did bring it out. There were 3 missed blocks on that kick return. So it's not all on Trenuman bringing it out that time, right? If three, he can't know there's going to be three missed blocks when he pulls it up, right?
Well, he can now.
Well, he can now. And Tanner Jacobson, 4 punt returns for negative 5 yards. His long is 1 yard.
Yeah, it's time to try someone else.
Time to try somebody else. I think there are yards out there. The other part is our defense has been extremely unlucky. We don't have any. We have how many fumble recoveries? Forced fumble. We got 2 fumble recoveries, right, the whole year. And you know, we have 2 fumble recoveries the whole year.
So, I thought it was 3.
3? I'm only seeing 2.
Oh no,
on
it's
the
2.
List.
You're right. It's 2. My bad.
I'm only seeing 2 on the list. Both Troy and Fred Warner, of course, have done it. I think we'll get some turnovers. And how many interceptions do we have?
I can't get to this number fast enough.
Interceptions. We have 1, and that was against whom? Was that LSU? Zane Anderson's one, or was that Portland? That was Portland State, right? So we don't have any against an FBS team. That's going to turn around. So I think there'll be yards, there'll be points. I think this season gets a lot better from here on out. I really do. And I'm not just saying that. But it's not going to be 1991, guys. We're not 1991. So, Matt, we've got our last tweet bag question of the day. Dr. Nick says this. Nice. That was a recovery.
I had to redeem myself.
Per Bill Connolly's S&P plus projections, that's on Football Outsiders, BYU is a 3.5-point underdog to Utah State and only 2-point favorites against UNLV, Fresno State, and Hawaii. If we lose to Utah State, do we seriously need to start worrying about making a bowl game? The answer to that is yes. Right?
Oh, yeah. If we lose the Utah State game, bowl eligibility is in jeopardy.
Yes. Oh, and he says, I will not be climbing in any bags. That's just weird. Thank you, Dr. Nick. Thank you, Dr. Nick. So let's predict the rest of the season, Matt.
The rest of the season is lots of people climbing in the tweet bag, except for not. Dr. Nick. That's all what right. I predict.
Utah State in a week and a half, Matt, win or loss?
I'm going with a win. I just can't do it. I can't get there.
Well. They're not good. They're not a top 100 team. They're bad. They're a bad team.
I'm not
bad at football.
I can't get there.
They got beat by Wake Forest 46-10. Okay? Wake Forest. Just breathe that in a little bit. Breathe it in. How good is Wake Forest this year? I don't actually know that. Do you know how good Wake Forest is? 36th best team in the country, according to Massey.
There you go.
Maybe they're a little better than I thought. Still, they got absolutely pounded. Not worried about that game particularly. Boise State, Matt. It's a loss, right?
Yeah, you're going to hate me for this. Okay, yeah, a loss.
Mississippi State, after what we just saw, loss.
It's got, yeah, could you? Yeah.
Road game, Starkville. East Carolina
Cowbells.
Might be the worst team we play this year. Win for the Cougars.
Win against the Pirates.
San Jose State. Not good. Win for the Cougars.
Win for the Cougs.
Fresno State on the road, Matt. We're only 2-point favorites on the road.
I'm still not worried about Fresno State. We're 2-point favorites because of how we've performed so far this year. We won't be... That margin will be larger by the time we get to that game.
And that's Bill Connolly's estimation. Vegas will never have us as just two-point favorites. It'll be bigger than that. UNLV, also on the road, win.
That's a win.
UMass, maybe the worst team we'll play.
It's a tight race between them and East Carolina.
East Carolina, duking it out. Maybe San Jose's going to be frisky with that as well. So we're both predicting win against the Miniman.
Frisky.
All right. Hawaii, Matt.
Did you just say the competition to be the worst team on our schedule will be frisky?
Yeah, why not?
If that's not weirder than suggesting someone climb on in the tweet bag, then I just don't know what is. All right, my prediction on the Hawaii game.
I'm not making it a weekly thing. I'm not going to make it the week.
You sure aren't, because it's
frisky
weird.
Meter.
You can't frisky? The teams are getting frisky and the competition to be the worst on our schedule? That's
You're dumb.
That's the weirdest thing I've heard all day.
You're weird. All right.
No, I'm just being defensive because Dr. Nick went right after the hashtag. He's going. He's going right at me.
He did. Good for him. All right, Matt at Owae. Win or
I'm
loss?
I'm still predicting a win here.
I am predicting a loss.
I knew it.
So here's what I'm really predicting. We are going to lose one of four games. We will lose one of them. Utah State, Fresno, UNLV, or Hawaii. We'll drop one of them. We're not, so far this year, I don't see enough evidence to believe those teams are close enough to us. They're not good, but so far this year, neither are we. They're close enough to us that I think that there is a chance that we lose one of those games. I think there's a good chance we lose one of them. Am I crazy?
It's unfortunate. It's sad.
But here's the flip side to that, Matt. I believe in this coaching staff, and I believe in the players. I think there's also a chance that we don't do that, and we beat Boise State at home. If that happens, you're 9-4 going into the bowl game and have a chance at 10 wins, and this season will feel completely different if we win a bowl game and get to double digits.
It will feel better.
Oh, it'll feel better. I mean, we can't erase what's happening.
It'll feel better than it does right now, yeah.
Yeah, certainly cannot erase what has happened. So, Matt, any other thoughts on the Cougars before we go to national college football stuff?
No, I just, listen, we've said it before, we're going to say it again. Like, this team is probably who we thought they were. They're a good team. That's not the right way to say this. We haven't learned everything there is to learn about this team yet. There is hope in the rest of this season. There's reasons to watch. This season can be salvaged.
Yes.
So, you know, let's stick with it here, folks. And we're going to ride this out with the Cougs to the end.
Right.
We'll be here either way, I guess.
We're here every week. We're here every week. So, Matt, we have been talking about our top four college football playoff contenders of the last couple of weeks. So we'll finish on this again this week. All right. So our own power poll, if you will, of the top four. Alabama's still in the top four, right? No
yep.
changes for you this week. Clemson.
Yeah.
Can't knock them out, can you?
No. And you laughed at me last time we did this, and I kept Clemson and said they were one of my playoff teams.
I know.
You scoffed.
I did laugh. Well, I don't know if I scoffed.
Who's laughing now?
That seems a little harsh that I
you
scoffed.
You pointed fingers from the great and spacious building.
What? Did you break out a great and spacious building reference?
I don't know why I did that. That was weird. That's weirder than climb on in the tweet
pack. Yeah, that's way weirder.
I'm never going to do that again.
Nice.
I'm sorry, everybody.
Nice job, buddy. Way to bring this.
This isn't my best show. I can't say tweet bag right. I said Sweeney's name wrong.
Yeah. What's wrong with you today?
I don't know. Yeah. I'll turn it around and so will the Cougs. It's going to be okay, everybody. But Clemson was in my playoff group, and you laughed at me.
I laughed at you a little bit. Yeah, I laughed at you a little bit. But, you know, that won't be the first time and it won't be the last. Let's
be
honest.
No, you're right. It won't.
So here's the thing. To me right now, those are the two. Those are the two that are a given. I shouldn't say given, right? Because all they have to do is lose some football games. But here's the thing, Matt. If Alabama doesn't make it, does the SEC get shut out? They're not going to get two teams this year. You and I talked about this earlier. We thought this could be the year they get two teams. I don't think they're getting two teams.
No, they won't get two teams.
They don't have, according to Massey, they don't have two teams in the top 10 right now.
Nope.
Which is, gosh, they always have two teams in the top 10. Do you know how many teams the Big Ten has in the top 10?
More than one.
Four. Think about that for a second. Four teams, all right?
We've talked about this. I mean, there's a scenario. I think there's a scenario where the Big Ten sends two.
I think there is a very realistic scenario where the Big Ten sends two. All right, Matt, so those are the top two, okay? We're both saying we agree with that. Who's third? Oklahoma?
Nope.
No. All right.
Oklahoma State.
You're nuts. Who's Oklahoma State beat? Stop it.
They're going to be undefeated, and they're going to have beat Oklahoma at the end of the season.
Oh, my gosh. What is wrong with you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Oh, yeah. I just said that.
Yeah, you did. They beat Tulsa. Who's the other team? Who's their FBS team? South Alabama.
South Alabama and Pitt.
And Pitt. Okay? When they've played somebody real, and that'll happen this Saturday, right?
That's right. They got TCU this weekend.
When they play somebody real, I'll believe in them. They are not in my top four. Oklahoma is definitely in my top four.
All right. Okay?
So you have Oklahoma
State. Well, I will
say
this. It's going to be one of those two.
I'm a man. I'm 50.
Because I think if you look at Oklahoma, right, with the road they have left to travel.
I have a bad haircut.
Oklahoma State. You know, they've got the same road to travel as Oklahoma and Oklahoma State have the same road to travel.
Correct, right? Mundo.
And one of those two teams is going to beat both TCU and the other one. And I believe that the winner of that battle gets into the four. And right now, I'm going to stick with OK State.
Okay. All right. TCU right now is ranked 14th, according to the computers. So, by the way, they could all lose one game.
Yeah, that's the worst-case scenario for the Big 12, and I believe that's the scenario where the Big 10 sends to.
Possibly, for sure. All right. So, Matt, fourth team, who you got? It's not USC, I'll tell you that much after watching that game.
Oh, it's not USC, and it's not Ohio State.
Well, Ohio State has a loss, but they could still do it, right? Especially if Oklahoma stays undefeated, that loss looks better and better. Penn State. I'm going Penn State.
Yeah, it's Penn State. I'm with you there.
That would mean the Pac-12 gets locked out. So far, that has only happened to the Big 12, right? For the Power 5.
Yep.
Only happened to the Big 12. So that would be new. I don't know that the Pac-12 is very good this year.
Well, and I think they're just going to be a victim of what happens, right? I mean,
yes, they could be a victim of all the teams at the top of that. None of them are completely dominant, but they're all pretty good, right?
You know, Penn State's really just got to beat Ohio State at this point. And then they'll go in, win the conference championship, and then they're in.
Well, and don't sleep on the Big Ten could run into the same problem that we just talked about with the Big 12, which is everybody loses once. Right?
Yeah.
And then you get a one-loss team, which isn't a kiss of death. They could get as good as that conference is this year, and that probably is true for the Pac-12 and the SEC champions. ACC is the team that is the one, quite frankly, that if Clemson were to trip, they could be the ones that get shut out this year.
I think, yeah, the ACC is probably is more likely than the SEC just for that reason. Is that what keeps them out? And I think Clemson's more likely to trip than Alabama at this point.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, you look at the ACC and again, the Big 12, the one knock that's going to be on the Big 12, and if they have a one-loss team, they're not making it, by the way, and that's because their conference is not very good after you get past the top three.
Yep.
That's the Big 12's biggest problem. So you have Oklahoma ranked third according to the Massey ratings, Oklahoma State fifth, TCU 14th, and then good luck finding the next team on this spreadsheet. It's West Virginia at 40th. Right? You've got a Mountain West team higher than that. Which, by the way, how did I miss that San Diego State and Stanford were playing, and how did the apocalypse not happen? How did I miss that?
I just figured you wouldn't want to talk about it because somebody was going to have to win that game, and you didn't want to.
There are no winners. There's no winners in that game. It's all losing for all of us. It's all losing for all of us. San Diego State
and Stanford
ends up winning.
So what happens? Wow. So how do you know which fans dressed up as Mormon missionaries are cheering for which team in that instance? I don't know what school they're there to represent.
It's very confusing.
It's very confusing.
Well, I hope you guys stuck with us today, like you're sticking with the Cougars, because I think we've had a pretty good ending. This has been a pretty good wrap-up.
Pretty good.
Hey, if you've never gone to iTunes and left us a review, I would encourage you to do it.
Go ahead. Positive review.
Absolutely. If you made it this far and you don't like our show, I'm not exactly sure what's right with you or wrong with you. Probably
I guess,
me neither.
I guess either, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on with you. If you just listen to over an hour of us blab about BYU sports and other nonsense. But anyway, remember, as always, you can check out this show and other great shows at desertnews.com/podcast. Matt, anything else to say before we sign off?
No, I think I've said enough.
I think you certainly have said enough. What was, did you do, was that a big, great, spacious building? What was your,
we're going to go back. We're going to revisit this.
Well, I'm just hoping you bring up the Rammy Umptum next time. That's what
my gosh.
I'm just hoping or something else, you know, maybe you want to quote scripture, Bronco.
Oh.
Want to quote scripture next time?
Did you just call me Bronco and suggest that I quote scripture on the podcast?
I'm sorry. That just slipped out.
You know, I feel like we were finishing real strong. You know what I mean? Things were going well.
I feel like it has continued to finish strong.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for downloading and listening. Check us out on Facebook.com/RiseAndShout, on Twitter at BYU_RiseAndShout, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!